For critical information ignored by the mainstream media, log on to davidicke.com/headlines now.
From Feature Story News in Washington, I'm Priscilla Huff. The acting director of the FBI, Andrew McCabe, told the Senate Intelligence Committee that the investigation into Russia's meddling in the 2016 American elections is continuing and is highly significant. The White House has tried to dismiss the work as minor and should even be put aside because no evidence of collusion has been found between Moscow and members of President Trump's inner circle. Acting FBI Director Andrew McCabe told Senator Angus King of Maine the investigation is a big deal.
A White House press spokesman said that this is one of the smallest things on the plate of the FBI. Is that an accurate statement? Is this a small investigation in relation to all the other work that you're doing?
Sir, we consider it to be a highly significant investigation.
So you would not characterize it as one of the smallest things you're engaged in?
I would not.
The acting director of the FBI is also disputing White House claims that the Bureau's agents had lost confidence in James Comey, the FBI director fired by President Trump earlier this week. Our U.S. correspondent Simon Marks reports.
Andrew McCabe's testimony on Capitol Hill is another problem for the White House. The Trump team insists one of the reasons the president fired James Comey as FBI director was the fact that the Bureau's staff nationwide had lost confidence in him. Mr. McCabe says, in fact, Mr. Comey enjoyed broad and deep support within the agency. He also says the investigation into ties between the Trump campaign team and the Russians is still being vigorously pursued. Simon Marks, Washington.
U.S. Defense Secretary James Mattis has told Turkey's Prime Minister Binali Yildirim that the U.S. is committed to their NATO ally security. Our U.S. correspondent William Denslow reports.
It's believed to be the highest level discussions between the two nations since the U.S. decision to support the YPG militia in Syria. Ankara see the group as an extension of the Kurdistan Workers' Party, a group that's waged an insurgency in the southeast of Turkey since 1984. A spokesperson for Secretary of Defense James Mattis says the US remains committed to protecting Turkey, but believe the YPG are an important ally in the fight against the so-called Islamic State in Syria. William Denslow, New York.
The head of Iraqi security forces is confident the operation to retake Mosul from the Islamic State will be complete within a few days. The Indian Supreme Court is deciding whether the practice of instant verbal divorce is constitutional. Our India correspondent Neha Punya reports.
The court has said it will examine whether or not triple talaq is fundamental to Islam. Muslim women and activists say instant verbal divorce is a practice that is unfair to women. But clerics say this is interference in their religious practices. The Indian government has also backed the demand for triple talaq to be abolished.
This is FSN.
Thanks very much, Priscilla Huff, and good evening to you. It is Thursday, May 11th, 2017, another great day. Although the weather, the meteorological service is telling us it's coming to an end tonight. I hope it isn't. The mother-in-law is in town tomorrow. Hope we have a few good days. Looking forward to this show. Tweet at Richie Allen Show. Email richie@richieallen.co.uk. Yet again, two more very interesting guests for you this Thursday. Looking forward to hearing from you as well, of course, as always.
Broadcasting live from the great city of Manchester, England. This is the Richie Allen Show on davidicke.com. The Richie Allen Show, brought to you in association with davidicke.com. And now, live from Manchester, England, here is Richie Allen.
Great to be with you. Jim Mars was due to be on the program today, but I spoke with Jim a short time ago, and he's not very well at all. Jim, nothing serious or life-threatening, but he's not well, and he's asked, can we put it off till next week? Of course we can do that. So, a late substitution sees the brilliant Maria Heller join the programme. Couldn't ask for better. As the lady with the oldest podcast on the net, brilliant journalist, Rolls-Royce broadcaster. She'll talk a lot about the FBI, Trump and all of that in the second hour. Now, coming up in the first hour, this is serious, serious stuff, this. I'll be joined by Liz Crokin. Now, Liz is an award-winning author, journalist and political pundit. She's also an advocate for sex crime victims. Until very recently, Liz was writing for townhall.com. She believes she was let go from her position because of her investigation into paedophile rings in the United States. You don't want to miss that. Liz Crokin joins the programme this hour, broadcasting live on davidicke.com, Fab Radio 2, alternatecurrentradio.com, TuneIn, and richieallen.co.uk. Going to mention a couple of things straight up. It being Thursday at 10 p.m. UK time, the Live League show with Hayden Hewitt broadcasts live from BVTV Studios in Manchester, very close to my heart. So the Live League show, go to liveleague.com at 10 p.m. UK time for an entirely different take on events than the one you get here. I shouldn't say that. We would agree on a lot of things, I think. That's the Live League show. And later on at 2 a.m. London time, the Boiler Room will be on the terrific Alternate Current Radio Network. Boiler Room at 2 a.m. with Hesh and Spore and others. 2 a.m. London time. That's 9 p.m. Eastern Time, US, alternatecurrentradio.com. Great platform as well. Right, a couple of people who I need to say hello to. First of all, Matthew Mason in Leicester listens to this programme and asked for a shout-out. How very 1980s of you, Matthew. God be with the days of ringing radio stations for shout-outs. Matthew, thanks for listening to the programme, mate. Have a great weekend and cheers for your support. And my local pub, although I haven't been drinking a lot of late, I've not been drinking anything of late, but my local pub, the Friendship Inn, their football team will play at Goodison Park, Everton, this coming Monday in the BT Sport Cup. The Friendship Inn doing really well. If they win there, they're off to the Emirates, Arsenal, another wonderful stadium for the final. So my good mate Ian, who's the barman, cook, bottle washer, bouncer, everything at the Friendship, dropped me a line and said, Richie, give us a shout. So I've done that. Alrighty, let's move on. Now, I've contacted the Labour Party today, read the HSBC IPGL scandal.
Explain again, Richie.
Okay. This is the biggest scandal that's ever hit a political party in this country, in my lifetime. Okay, forget weapons of mass destruction. I don't mean forget it. Park to one side the slaughter of millions of Iraqis and Afghans and everybody else. Okay, I'm not comparing it to that. But in terms of purely political scandal, domestically, there's a scandal that's been brewing for weeks. A terrific journalist called Joel Benjamin has broken this. We spoke to Mr. Ethical Nicholas Wilson about it. It is major. It is government collapsing in nature. So I contacted the Labour Party today. Dear Jeremy. And anyway, back in 2008, HSBC gave a loan of £214 million to a company that was up to its neck in debt. Up to its gazoo in debt. A worthless company called IPGL Limited, chaired by a guy called Michael Spencer, who was the Tory Party treasurer and chief fundraiser at the time. That was his company. Now, IPGL and its subsidiaries then donated at least £5.3 million to the Conservative Party. We say at least because it's at least, right? Massive donations enabled by the bank HSBC. Now, I mentioned yesterday, and I'm going to wrap this up really quick because you've heard this yesterday, but a lot of people won't have heard it. Gideon Osborne and David Cameron lobbied for HSBC in the United States, begged the US government, the Obama administration, not to prosecute them for laundering hundreds of millions of dollars of Mexican drug cartel money. We all know that HSBC is a blue ribbon champion of enabling tax dodging as well. It's a wonderful institution. Now, the man in charge of HSBC at the time, by the way, and he was also in charge of the loan to IPGL and the tax avoidance that was going on at HSBC. His name was Stephen Green. Now, he left his position as chairman of HSBC in 2010 in order to become a Conservative peer. He became Lord Green. And he also became Minister of State for Trade and Investment in January 2011. This is filthy. This is massive. This is huge. But Jeremy Corbyn doesn't want to touch it. His manifesto, or the Labour Party's manifesto, was leaked today. You've heard so much of this on mainstream TV and radio. I'm not going to get into it. Bring the railways back into public ownership. Freeze passenger rail fares. Reverse the privatisation of Royal Mail, and so on, so on, so on. All sounds very good. That's in the leaked manifesto. The party bigwigs came together today in London to endorse this, to agree on this. Apparently they've all agreed on it. And in the next day or two, the manifesto will officially be published. For more on that, I suggest you go to bbc.co.uk/news or go to davidicke.com/headlines. Maybe go to the latter first. The FBI investigation into alleged links between Russia and Trump will carry on. You heard in the news, unimpeded by the sacking of James Comey. Going to get into this with the terrific Maria Heller in the second hour. And the real story behind all of this. What you're not being told, by the way. Okay? The acting director, Andrew McCabe, said from now on in, the FBI would not be updating Donald Trump about the investigation into Russia and all of that. Right. Hayden Hewitt sent me a story today. I wasn't aware of it. And it's a huge story. An oil and gas drilling advocacy group published an open letter to Google, asking Google, the search engine giant, to consider purging or demoting websites spreading misinformation about hydraulic fracturing. Okay? This is the industry-funded Texans for Natural Gas. They want Google, basically, to get rid of anti-fracking websites. The Texans for Natural Gas have said, "We believe many of the most prominent anti-fracking websites have content that is misleading, false or offensive, if not all three." This is in an open letter to Google on Monday. So that's this Monday. So they want Google to use algorithms to get rid of these websites, make it impossible for people to find them. This is dystopia. Right? This is what we've been saying for years is going to happen. It's happening now. And it's 12 minutes past the hour. I've got to take a break. I've got to crack on with the programme because my first guest is standing by patiently in Los Angeles to talk to us. Here's a quick break. Back in a minute with more. This is Thursday's Richie Allen Show, live on davidicke.com, Fab Radio 2 and ACR.
Have you lost access to important data from a computer hard drive, mobile phone or other storage device? Maybe you have a broken hard drive containing years of information, or a smartphone that no longer works from which you'd like the pictures, movies and chats recovered. If you would like to recover data from any type of digital device, including desktop and laptop computers, external hard drives, cameras, smartphones, NAS and RAID servers, then contact Data Clinic today at dataclinic.co.uk now.
Virtually every transaction that involves a child is valuable to somebody.
We intend to show everyone the real reason children are being removed at an alarming rate.
No, this is awful.
The baby's not been seen by the doctor or nothing.
They are psychopathic.
They have got the legal right to kill children now, because that's what they do.
Traffic 2, available now at premiumpictures.co.uk.
There's a place high in the mountains of Spain, a sanctuary where souls gather from all around the globe to learn about themselves and experience powerful changes in the way we see our world. They become awakened to their gifts and their power to heal others. Become part of this ever-growing worldwide family of unique, pure energy healing practitioners. Discover how amazing you truly are. Go to www.markbajerski.com. It could just change your life forever.
Yeah, welcome back to the program. It's 14 minutes past the hour for Thursday, May 11th, 2017. It's always great to be with you. Got the time wrong with Maria. Frazzled I was later this afternoon. She was about ready to come on now because I gave her the wrong time, but she's a good sport and will be with us in the second hour. You think I'd have learned by now, years of doing this, time zones in the US and all of that, but I made what you call a pig's arse of it, or a cow's arse of it, or whatever. This is your Richie Allen Show. There's none other like it. Broadcasting live on davidicke.com, Fab Radio 2, ACR, and TuneIn Radio. Liz Croke joins us after this from Coldplay. This is Politic. The time approaching quarter past the hour for Thursday's show.
Look at Earth from our space. Everyone must find a place. Give me time and give me space.
From Coldplay at exactly 19 minutes past the hour. I hope to be momentarily joined by Liz Croken, who I believe is in Illinois, but she's not there just yet. So we'll give her a few minutes due to speak with her this hour. Liz, is her story is absolutely fascinating. She's an author, a journalist and an advocate for the victims of sex trafficking and sex crimes. She believes, does Liz, that she was let go from a recent gig, a writing gig for a well-known online magazine or e-zine. Nobody calls them e-zines anymore. Because of her interest in pedogate, sex trafficking, VIP pedophilia in the United States. We've been swapping messages for a number of days, and she's due on this show today. So we'll give her a few minutes and see if she just otherwise delayed. Do keep your tweets coming in. It's at Richie Allen Show, richie@richieallen.co.uk. A little bit of election fatigue creeping in already, and there's still such a long way to go. There's a month to go, June 8th, Thursday, June 8th, when the general election takes place here, when the primary schools will fill up with booths, and people will file in there, and I presume in record low numbers, is what I'm presuming. And some of you are saying to me on Twitter and through email, loud and clear, Richie, we're fed up. We're fed up, you're telling me. We're fed up of the election. I think Liz might be there now, so let's get her on and give her a shout. Right, 21 past the hour. Your Richie Allen Show, broadcasting live on davidicke.com, Fab Radio 2, and Alternate Current Radio. Let me just give you a quick background to this again. Came across Liz when she got in touch with us on Twitter about a week ago. Liz came on to tell us that she was working for townhall.com and that she was released from her job as a writer, as a staff writer there. And she believes it's because she was investigating VIP paedophile rings in the United States, in DC and elsewhere. She's an author, journalist, political pundit even, and an advocate for sex crime victims. She published a fictional novel some time ago called Malice, which was very well reviewed. Now, these are serious issues, of course, and we're going to stay right across these issues as much as we possibly can. Now, she was there a second ago, Liz, and now she's not. There's an old spanner in the works again, I think. We might have to go to cell phone. Cell phone is never good. Okay, I'm going to tell her to try again then. It's great to have the old cell phone, isn't it? Try again there, Liz, as I type away. And we'll see, can she give me a call rather than I give her a call? Strange old thing. Right then. Okay. Now, a couple of guests this week. Ralph Epperson didn't make it this week. Ralph will be back on the programme next week. Alana Freeland returns to the programme next week as well. And I might have Joel Benjamin on the programme next week, the journalist who's uncovered this massive, massive scandal that is being ignored by the UK media, completely and utterly ignored by the UK media. That's the HSBC, IPGL money laundering thing with the Conservative Party. Right, I think we might have Liz on the line. Liz, welcome to the programme. How are you? I'm really well. Thanks for coming on. I've already done the introduction while I was trying to connect to you there. Thanks so much for doing it, Liz.
Thank you so much for having me.
Massive issues, Liz. Tell us about writing for townhall.com and tell us about leaving that publication and why. What happened?
Oh, it's such a mess. So I've been writing for Town Hall for almost a year now. I started, I want to say last June. And I started covering a lot of political pieces, got really involved covering the election. I went to two of the presidential debates. And when the Podesta emails came out, which was, right before the election, I got really interested in researching all of them. And I am the survivor of a sexual assault. I actually just spent all morning in court. I have been pursuing criminal and civil charges against the sexual predator who committed a sexual assault against me for almost 5 years now. So I do a lot of work with rape victims and sexual assault victims and victims of sex trafficking and victims of satanic ritualistic abuse. it's kind of become my passion. And I try to do everything I can to help other sex crime victims because I've been touched personally by it. And I understand the horrors of it very well. And I started learning a lot about it, you know, after I became a victim. Now, when I read those Podesta emails, I was horrified. All right. And I already knew about the Clintons. I already knew about the Clinton Foundation and their ties to sex trafficking and Laura Silsby. Now her name's Laura Gaylor, and all the shadiness surrounding that whole network. But when the Podesta emails came out, it just reconfirmed for me what I already knew about the Clinton crime operation, right? So I got really interested in it, but I also saw how the mainstream media was reacting to anyone that was actually doing a legitimate research revolving around the Podesta emails, and it got casted as a conspiracy, and that was titled, as you know, Pizzagate. So I got really interested in it, and, you know, I started talking about it on social media, but I waited a few months before I started writing, attempting to write about it with any of the publications I worked for. I freelanced for a lot of places. Town Hall is just one of them. And I thought, you know what? I know that there's something super shady going on here. It's very obvious and there's tons of proof, right? But I want to write about it, but I don't want to use the term Pizzagate because the leftist mainstream media has done such a great, fantastic job casting anyone that even says that word as a Looney Tune. And it distracts from the facts, right? So in
Liz,
February,
Liz, can I jump in there and ask you about the facts?
Sure.
And by the way, your resume is very impressive. It really is. I got to say that. And just in case our listeners are not up to speed, I just want to remind them that John Podesta basically chaired the Hillary Clinton presidential campaign last year. So this guy's a big cheese. Liz, tell us this. I know from researching you, you really did troll through those emails extensively. And trolling
yes.
through them, you're convinced that the language being used in them could be decoded to reveal that this guy knew about, at least, and at worst maybe was involved in participation in the trafficking of children.
Absolutely. No doubt. I bet my life on it. Wouldn't even think twice about it. No doubt in my mind. Now, keep in mind, though, I have been studying the Clintons since 1997. I think it was 1997, actually, yes. I started studying the Clintons in 1997. I did a whole research project on Hillary and Bill Clinton in college. She did a whole thesis on Saul Alinsky, the radical thug. I did my research project on her. So I've been studying the Clinton crime family for decades now. All right. So, you know, I've been very familiar with Hillary Clinton and her ways for a very long time. But yes, those emails, with everything that I know and all the evidence that's put together, I have no doubt that that's absolutely what's going on. What bothers me about the term Pizzagate and the word pizza, pasta, wanna sauce, you know, you will read all of these articles in the mainstream media, like the Daily Beast, like there's so many of them, and they go on and on and on about how Pizzagate is a conspiracy theory. And I'll often challenge some of these writers on Twitter and John Podesta himself, and I'll say, if this is a conspiracy theory, prove it. Explain to me what pasta means. Explain to me what pizza means. Explain to me what plain Domino's on cheese or pizza means. Please explain to me why your friends are dreaming of your hot dog stand in Hawaii. And if you're not talking about trafficking children, then please explain what in the world you're talking about.
What are you talking about exactly? Now, just before you get into that, Liz Crokin is on the line, folks. We're delighted to have Liz. She's written for US Weekly. She's written for a lot of publications, an accomplished journalist and a published author. Liz, before we go down that road, just remind our listeners about Laura Silsby. She was the woman who, she's a convicted trafficker. She basically tried to kidnap children in Haiti. And we know the Clintons intervened to prevent her going down. Talk about that.
So the Clintons If anyone you meet, and a lot of people talk about this, anyone you meet that's from Haiti or has relatives in Haiti or has gone to Haiti, that's a good person, that's not going there to traffic children, they know that every single person there absolutely despises the Clintons, because the Clintons use their foundation as a front to raise money for Haiti and to pretend like they were going to actually help them and all these earthquake victims, when in reality, they didn't give them any money at all. They didn't build all the houses they were supposed to build. And there are people that are associates with the Clintons that were trying to steal children from the country. And so Laura Silsby was one of them. She was caught trying to steal 33 children, and 33 is a satanic number. I'm going to note that. It's very interesting that it was 33 children. She was caught trying to steal 33 children out of the country, and she said, oh, no, they're orphans, and, you know, I work with an adoption agency. There was no proof of that. She was charged with this, but convicted as well, and President Bill Clinton flies over there to get her out of jail. Like, what? Why would a president of the United States have an interest in getting someone out of jail who was trying to traffic children?
Those children, Liz, were meant to arrive in mainland United States, where they were presumably going to be placed with families who participate in the sexual abuse and filming and photographing of children. No doubt about that, right?
I'm sure. Like, I have no doubt about it. Like, and, you know, one of the first columns I wrote for Town Hall was a column titled something along the lines of what every woman or every sex crime victim should know about Hillary Clinton. Okay. So let's just kind of look at the facts about Hillary Clinton. She has literally spent her entire life defending, promoting, and enabling pedophiles and rapists. That's a fact. Okay?
Liz, did she brag about getting a pedophile off, knowing that he was a pedo? I mean, I understand a little bit about the law. If a lawyer or a barrister in the UK is convinced of the guilt of his or her client, or I should say, if his or her client confesses to them that they did indeed commit the crime, they've got to remove themselves from the case. But Hillary, she was happy enough to defend.
She had no problem, and she was giddy about it. She joked about it years later. And, you know, the mainstream media never reports this, but that rape victim was a child. And she was raped so violently that she was unconscious, and she was unable to have children. Okay? I mean, this was a horrific, horrific rape. And she defended the rapist, and she admitted that she knew he was guilty, and she still lied, and she slut-shamed the victim.
Yeah.
She said that it was the child's fault. I mean, she went as low as you can go. And that's just the beginning. I mean, she ran, when Bill Clinton, you know, was having all these affairs and screwing interns and raping women, sexually assaulting women left and right, she led the smear campaign against these women.
Against the women, yeah.
And let me tell you something. They dug up dirt on these women. They vandalized their homes. They poisoned their dogs. They killed their dogs. They threatened their children. They had, you know, they had a whole network of authorities, rogue authorities in Arkansas. When Bill Clinton was initially the attorney general, and then he was the governor of Arkansas before he was president, they were, you know, they've been involved in shady business dealings and drug operations. Bill Clinton's brother was a convicted drug dealer. I mean, it goes on and on and on. The whole family's corrupt. But they had the state troopers covering up for them. And they had, you know, literally hitmen going after these women that were abused and harassed by Bill Clinton. And they used thug tactics, intimidation, vandalism, you know. And they killed their pets.
Not just to silence those women, Liz, but to warn any other woman whom might have been assaulted by him or Jeffrey Epstein or any of these people. This is what happens to you if you speak out about it. Now, you're an advocate for victims, and I know, I'm so glad you're on this program, Liz. I don't know how much you know about us, but we, one of the networks we broadcast on is davidicke.com. Nobody has done more in the UK in 30 years to expose VIP pedophilia here. This is a huge subject, and most people don't have any idea that it's going on. Now, you speak to victims, and it's through your advocating for victims, working with victims, helping people, that you came to believe that this is epidemic and the satanic nature of it, Liz. When did you start to understand that there is this, you know, that there is a satanic element to much of this abuse? This is important.
So, okay. I've been really good friends with a girl named Sarah, and I have her blessing to use her name, for almost 20 years now. She was the victim of satanic ritualistic abuse when she was in preschool. And she was one of the very few children that was brave enough to testify in court. She was on Oprah. This was in Chicago. I mean, this was a whole thing. And we became really close when I was in my early 20s. We hung out a lot in Chicago. And she broke down to me a few times and confided in me. And, you know, she's pretty open about it these days. But back then, she didn't really tell anyone. And she told me what happened to her. And I believed her. But at the same point in time, I couldn't even believe it was physically possible to do that to a toddler. Like, I still have problems.
Liz, do us a quick favor. Just hang on just one second.
Sure.
Folks, if you've got children listening to this, please get them out of the room or turn off this and catch the podcast later after the live program. And I mean that because I'm going to ask Liz, not because I'm, you know, mm-hmm. sick or twisted or because I want to hear this stuff, but it's important that we hear it. If you've got a child, get him out of the room now. Liz, what did Sarah tell you?
So, and it is awful, and it's sickening, but people do need to know. Because people need to know, because if they don't know, they don't get angry, and if they're not angry, they're not going to take action. So it's a hard pill to swallow, but people need to wake up to this stuff because children are being terrorized. So she told me back then that she was raped, and I was like, I didn't even understand the biology of it. Like, how could you rape a child like without destroying their internal organs? But she was. And when she first started telling me about this, she didn't go into details, but it was very clear to me she was telling me the truth. I mean, just bawling tears. There's no way that she was making this up. She's not a honest person. Like, I knew she was telling me the truth. But I, at that point in time, and I don't even know if she realized this at that point in time, this was over 15 years ago, I didn't make the connection that, A, there was a satanic connection with this. And I also didn't make the connection that this was rampant. And I also didn't make the connection that this was with pedophile elites. And this was, I thought this was just a random freak thing, okay? So that was 15 years ago. Fast forward to, I have my first job as one of my first internships was in the White House under the Bush Jr. presidency. So I worked in the White House press corps. I worked for the State Department years ago. I ran a gossip column for the Chicago Tribune in Chicago. And then about 7 years ago, I moved to Hollywood, and I've covered a lot of really salacious and scandalous stories about Hollywood celebrities. And I've always been interested in, you know, conspiracy theories. And I'd heard about, you know, the Illuminati and some celebrities being into Satanism and stuff like that. And I found it a little hard to believe a few years ago. However, there was one story that I did involving a musician that a lot of people online talk about how this musician is just blatantly a Satanist and he's constantly singing about, you know, the devil and worshiping the devil and Satanism.
Don't name him now, Liz. Liz, don't name him, right? Just for the sake of the program. If he's alive, don't name him. For the purposes of libel, don't name him, right? Or don't give any clues to his identity.
Yeah.
And you might have done already, but it's okay.
The whole music industry.
Yeah, fair enough.
Let me tell you, I've learned a lot. But, you know, when I you know, I'd read stuff online, then you'd start hearing things, and especially in the music industry, and I'd meet with sources, and I would start hearing things here and there. And that's when I started realizing, the more I heard it from just reliable people that are in the know, I'm like, wow, there really is something to this. There are really people in the business that are like that worship Satan. But what really woke me up is that I was doing a story involving one of these alleged Satanists, involving an affair that this person was having with a prostitute. And let's just say that something really big was going on with this person's life that was positive news, that was supposed to be really, it was, let's say it was a really big positive publicity stunt that was about to happen. And me doing the story about this prostitute, because this person was married. So me doing the story about this person having an affair with a prostitute would have overshadowed the publicity stunt they were about to reveal. All right. And I think everyone, you don't have to be a conspiracy theorist to know that celebrities do, you know, publicity stunts constantly. Yeah. You know, so much of what they do is staged. So I'm interviewing this woman that's had an affair with this person, and she gets knocked off within like a day of agreeing to do the interview with me. And at the time, another source told me that she called this person and said, give me X amount of dollars or else I'm going to talk to the press. And I kid you not, with less than 24 hours, she was found dead.
She was found dead.
And this woman was 28, perfect health, blah, 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 blah. And at the time, you know, and we did the publication I was working for, we did do kind of a little blur, but it didn't go anywhere. And I was really like, we need to investigate this death. It's so mysterious. And my editors weren't interested in it, so I just didn't pursue it. But it was interesting because years later, right before the election, I met someone that was engaged to this woman when she died, okay? And his friends found her dead. And I said, I told him, look, I always suspected that, you know, this certain celebrity offed her.
Was involved, yeah.
It was involved. And he said to me, absolutely. And he explained to me how it all works. And he explained to me about the Illuminati. And this guy, I mean, and that's when I realized, wow, like this stuff is real. Like when, you know, when you're physically talking to someone on the phone and they're agreeing to do a story with you, and then the next time you try to call that person and you talk to one of their coworkers and they're like, no, she just died.
Did you realize, Liz, did that bring it home to you that this subject matter is in fact above the law? Because we've seen that here. We hear from senior Scotland Yard detectives, Liz. I mean, they're the top detectives in the country. And, you know, they said they tried to investigate this in the 70s and the 80s, and they were stonewalled. And in fact, in many cases, they were told to stop asking questions. So you realized this, right? You realized that this was above the law.
And when that happened, I realized, all right, the Illuminati's real, Satanism's real. Like, there are really powerful celebrities that, you know, that are into this stuff. Like, that's when that was a really big red pill for me to swallow. Years later, when I met this guy that was engaged to her when she died, I have that reporter instinct. So I'm like, well, how does this go down? And like, you know, the autopsy, I believe the autopsy read that she died of like an aneurysm and like the whole thing was shady. And because she had no health problems. And I'm like, you know, how could they get a medical examiner to lie on an autopsy? And he's like, are you kidding me? And this guy kind of grew up in a hood neighborhood, like in the hood. And he basically was like, are you kidding me? He's like, he dropped $20,000 to the medical examiner and he'll write whatever you freaking want. And
do you know what, Liz? Do you know what? That's right. But more than likely they would have used the medical examiner who was probably compromised because because he or she was involved in the abuse to children. This is how sick it is. Let me do a quick a very quick recap. We've got Liz Crokin on the line. Liz is an award-winning author and journalist, also political pundit. Really amazing resume, Liz. Worked at the State Department, worked at the White House, interned there, written for Town Hall, Marie Claire, US Weekly, Chicago Tribune, the Chicago Sun-Times. Liz believes that there is a massive cover-up to cover up the trafficking of children, the satanic abuse of children on a massive scale by elite VIP paedophiles politically and in business as well. There's no doubt about that. She reckons, Liz, that a recent gig that she's lost is because of these investigations and asking these questions. She read the Podesta. You read the Podesta emails extensively, analysed them, looked at them, and Liz is convinced that those emails contain the red flag, the smoking gun, to show that you know the Clintons, Podesta and others are involved in the abuse of children. Lisa, I've got to mention this. I remember my first entry into this was many years ago. I interviewed some people about Lauren C. King and the Franklin Credit Union scandal and the trafficking of children around America. Lauren C. King, the big Republican power broker, close confidant of senior Republicans during the Reagan administration. I'm not suggesting for a minute Reagan was involved in abusing children, but King was.
Okay.
There's a lot of evidence that George H.W. Bush Sr. Was involved in the abuse of children. Liz, this is not, this is a cross-party thing, this is widespread,
yeah,
right? It's endemic in political circles right across the country.
Yeah, I mean, look at Dennis Hastert. Dennis Hastert was the Speaker of the House. I mean, he was the third most powerful person in the country, in Congress. And, you know, he's in jail for raping boys. He's Republican, you know. It crosses party lines. I do believe that there are the globalists and there's the nationalists. And it seems that the globalist agenda is in line with the pedophile agenda. So you have Republicans, for example, that were against Trump. But all of those quote-unquote Republicans that were against Trump, who I firmly believe is going after these pedophiles wholeheartedly, I believe that they are, you know, their own, and they're basically puppets and pawns for these globalists. And maybe not all of them are pedophiles, but they are brownstoned and they're blackmailed, and there's something that the globalists are hanging over their heads to keep them working against people like Trump that are trying to expose.
Well, tell me this, Liz. How disappointing. Now, I'm apolitical, right? I'm obviously in Manchester, yeah, in England.
Sure.
And I don't believe in politics. I don't believe we live in a democracy. I think we live in a fascist dictatorship. But anyway, that's for another night. Right,
it's
now, Trump is elected on the basis that he's going to go after people like Hillary Clinton. And then,
yes,
he inexplicably says in his first television interview after winning that the Clintons are good people and I don't want to hurt them. And we know that he's had his ties, occasionally he's done business with associates of and sometimes the Clintons. Do you not worry, Liz, that ultimately if Donald Trump was really, really, really serious about uncovering elite paedophilia in DC, A, he wouldn't have been elected, and B, if he was, well, he'd be assassinated, wouldn't he?
Well, and isn't that sad that that's how we'll know for sure if he really is generally against the pedophiles, is if he gets assassinated? But I do believe that he is against these pedophiles and he wants to take them down. But this guy is always 50 steps ahead of everyone else. And, you know, yeah, he associated in those circles in New York. Everyone does. I mean, I live in Hollywood. I go to parties with Satanists and pedophiles literally all the time. Like, you can't avoid it. You know, as a journalist, I have to go to these events where these people that lead these creepy lifestyles are there. Does that mean I'm a pedophile? Or does that mean that I hang out
of
with
course
them?
Not, Liz. No, absolutely not. You know. But can I make this point? I would never say that Donald Trump is involved in anything like that. I would not. But isn't it fair to at least, couldn't it be argued that a billionaire developer like Trump would have been aware that that sort of thing was going on, Liz? And while he didn't participate or may not have participated in it, he's never really said anything about it. Now, it's not just him. We have it here in the UK as well with the leader of the Labour Party, Jeremy Corbyn, and others who've known about paedophilia but have not said anything. I think he would have had to have heard something about it or known it was going on back in the day.
See,
what do you think?
No, see, that's where you're wrong. He actually has talked about it, but no one reports it. He tweeted about it a few years ago. I think it was like 5 years ago. I mean, it was a while ago. And he said in the tweet something along the lines of, there's really something that we need to do about these pedophiles grabbing people in the street.
Yeah.
He has made trust me, he knows what's going on, and he's made references to it.
And by the way, Liz, to be fair to you and to be completely balanced, I do understand, and I've read your articles and I've been following you on Twitter. Liz is on Twitter. It's at Liz Croken, by the way. Follow her there. Liz, to be fair, arrests are happening. Maybe they're low-level arrests, but they are happening, but they're just not getting press. Tell us about that.
Okay. So I read the Podesta emails, and, you know, I have no doubt in my mind that the Clintons, the government, Podesta, they're involved in sex trafficking. All right. But, you know, as a journalist, I wanted to just present in my articles the facts, and I didn't want to speculate anything. And I want people to understand that this is real, and I don't want to put anything out there that's going to turn people away or have people think that this isn't true. I don't want to scare people into not hearing me out and hearing out the facts. So the first story I did in sex trafficking, and I knew just through my research, you know, I've known Trump not well, but I've covered him for years and met him briefly and his kids. I knew he was going to go after the pedophiles. And that's why I was so working so hard to get him elected, because I knew he would, even though he never actually came out and said it, just through my research, I knew he would do it. Okay. So, and I talked about that a lot before he even got elected. So he gets elected, and sure enough, we have massive pedophile arrests. The numbers have dramatically increased since he was elected and since he was sworn into office. And I mean, we're looking at increases by like triple digits, like 300%, like just crazy numbers. And the first, like, there was like a case in California where there was like 400 people arrested. I mean, 400 people arrested for pedophilia in the state of California. And the mainstream media doesn't talk about it. I mean, that's like, those are insane numbers.
Massive numbers, Liz. Who are these people, Liz? Who are they in terms of, you know, what level do we think these people are at?
So that's what I was going to get to. Initially, you're right. They were just kind of the low-level people. And like the media always wants you to think that pedophiles or trailer trash are just like the lowest of the low, just scum, hick people, okay? So they usually just cover those kinds of cases. The initial arrests were the low-level people. As time has progressed, the arrests were getting higher on the totem pole, and we are starting to see, we had an NYPD police chief arrested recently, former NYPD police chief arrested for sexual exploitation of children. We had a Democratic Ohio mayor arrested for pedophilia. We had members of the FBI, I believe, members of the military. We've had a lot of high-level people get arrested recently. Not at first, but if you study the arrests and if you study what's going on within law enforcement, is that there's, which I've heard traditionally the way that things work in law enforcement is they try to get the lower level thugs talking so they can get to the bigger people on the totem pole. And that's exactly what's happening. The people at the bottom were arrested first, and now we're getting higher. I mean, we're getting to politicians now. I believe there was a mayor also in Washington. I think I want to say Seattle. I'll have to look at my notes. I mean, there's been so many. I can't keep track of them. But there's been politicians. There's been like doctors. We're getting to more prominent people.
I tell you what, Liz. I tell you what. We're going to have a few suicides in prison, aren't we?
Oh, I'm sure we're going to have a lot of suicides, especially with Comey fired. But so I covered this. I write this story saying, you know, why Trump, you know, is cracking down on pedophiles. There's been a historical number of arrests on sex trafficking and sex trafficking busts, and why isn't the mainstream media covering it? And I basically said that, you know, the mainstream media is covering up for pedophiles, which they are, and they enable pedophiles, which they do. And to take it a step further, and this is true, they actually try to normalize pedophilia. You have, you know, outlets like Salon.com writing articles claiming that pedophiles aren't monsters and they're misunderstood. And you have a whole movement in the small movement, fringe movement in the LGBT community that's trying to add P to the acronym for pedophiles. and they believe that pedophiles should have rights. Like, this is all happening.
Liz, is this, I'm not doubting your credibility at all, but just for our listeners who are a little bit dubious about this, is there proof of that, that some LGBT community
people
are actually looking to have P put at the end of LG?
Yes. There's an organization behind it. I believe it's called the Heart Progress. You can Google this. And you can go to my Twitter page, at Liz Croken. I post constantly Twitter handles of pedophiles who are talking about normalizing pedophilia. They put on their Twitter handle, LGBTP. Like, I'm constantly... And they're tweeting about it. They're tweeting that children, you know, should be able to consent. Children should have rights. There should be no age limit to have... for an adult to have sex with children. Like, the children should have a right to have sex with an adult. I kid you not, I am constantly finding these accounts, screenshotting them, tweeting them, reporting them, posting about them, and asking other people to post about them and to report them.
Do you know
all
what,
the time.
Liz?
Go to my page. This is real.
By the way, just before I read a couple of tweets, give us the details of your page so I can share it. Go ahead.
So my Twitter page is at Liz Croken, L-I-Z-C-R-O-K-N. And then I'm on Facebook under my name. And
you're the only Liz Croken on Facebook, by the way. There's only one. There can be only one Liz Croken. So if you look for Liz Croken on Facebook, you'll find Liz. So follow her on Facebook. Befriend her there. Jen in California says to say to Liz, it was the mayor of Seattle, Washington.
Yeah.
That's the guy.
There you go. And there was another one in Ohio, too, I believe. There's so many. But anyways, okay, so I'm kind of getting off track here. So I write this story, and I just stick with the facts. I cite all of these other news articles. I put hyperlinks. It's called Why is the MSM, you know, Ignoring Trump's Sex Trafficking Arrest, something like that. It's still up. You can find the article. You know, it's just facts. You know, Trump's cracking down on sex trafficking. Why isn't the media covering it? Like, almost 500 pedophiles arrested in California. Like, how is this not on CNN? How is this not on Fox News Channel? This is huge news. Nothing. Crickets. Total silence from the mainstream media. So then I do another article, and I talk about, because in the United States, and I don't know how much people in the UK are paying attention to our news. It's such a circus. But in the United States, there's been a whole movement to attack Trump and to overthrow him and to delegitimize his presidency by accusing him to be in bed with Russia when there's no proof of it.
No evidence whatsoever, no.
No evidence. So my second column, I took it a little step farther, and I talk about Trump, Russia, and how it all ties to sex trafficking. And I threw out some facts and some links, and Trump and Putin have two things in common that the globalist pedophiles can't stand. They're both Christians. They both don't like pedophiles. They both talk about how they don't like pedophiles, and they both go after pedophiles. Okay? So,
but
the
Liz,
people
but
that
Liz,
were trying
Liz,
to overthrow
let, let me
Trump.
Just be, let me just be the devil's advocate. Your heart must have sank when he did that interview with 60 Minutes, and he said, the Clintons are good people. I don't want to hurt them. In light of everything you know, and you've researched the Clintons as well as anybody that's been on this program, your heart must have sank when he said that, because this was completely the opposite of what he said when he was campaigning, you know?
You know, and it didn't. And I'm going to tell you why it didn't sink my heart. I'm telling you, I understand Trump very well. I know this man. I understand how he operates. It didn't sink my heart because I truly believe that he's still going to go after Clinton. Trump is the biggest troll. This man knows how to, he knows how to troll people. He knows how to set people up. He knows how to expose people by getting them to, like, admit their own crimes. I mean, the guy's brilliant. He's always, like, 10 steps ahead of everyone else. Like, and again, I don't know how close you guys follow.
Yeah,
media,
we follow. We have a huge amount of our audience is in the States. Let me just again play the devil's advocate. Liz, I've been following these issues for the best part of 15 years now, and it's my understanding that the intelligence agencies of this country and of the United States, they keep detailed files, Liz. Now, I don't believe Donald Trump was ever involved with the abuse of children. I don't believe that. But
yeah.
Liz, he's a red-blooded man, and he has a penchant, shall we say, for the ladies. And it could be possible, Liz. I'm just saying it has to be considered that a file exists on Donald, and that there may have been times in his college days, in his early days as a real estate developer in New York, that he might have played around and done a few things, and there might be videos and files held against him. And I think we have to always consider that possibility, you know?
It's possible, but honestly, and again, this is another reason why I was such a strong supporter of him. Look, I worked for the tabloids. I worked for the National Enquirer for years. And every once in a while you'd hear, Trump, someone said that maybe that Trump had an affair, Trump did this or that. And I always checked it out, and nothing ever checked out with him. He was like, I'm telling you, of all the people I've covered, like, nothing ever checked out with him. Now, I could be wrong.
No, but I think you're an excellent journalist, Liz. There's no doubt about that. You're an excellent journalist and reporter. But the CIA, the NSA, the FBI, it's different, Liz, isn't it? Because you'd never find out what they might have on somebody, you know?
No, and they drug people and they set people up. And I mean, it's just a mess. But So I write this article, my second article about sex trafficking, and it's important to note that the first article I did on sex trafficking went viral. I mean, Town Hall tracks all the stories, and if you go to Town Hall's site, it says which stories are trending, and it orders which one's number one, two, three, and four. Well, my story was number one. It became the sex trafficking story became the number one story, which is great because it means that people really want to know about this. They're interested in saving children, and they want to know the truth. So I do the second piece on sex trafficking, okay? And then I try to do a third piece on sex trafficking. And all of a sudden, they're like, no, we're going to pass on your column. Now, if my other pieces hadn't gone viral and they hadn't gotten a lot of hits, which, as you know, as a business person, hits bring in money, you know, viewers, readers bring in money because you get more ad revenue and you know how that goes. Now, if I was putting out stories that weren't going viral, no one was reading, of course, I would understand that. But traditionally, when I have done a story that has gone viral, usually the editor-in-chief asks me to do a follow-up or two or three follow-ups so you could kind of keep, you know, the momentum going with the hits. So when by the third story that I turned in that had some ties to sex trafficking, they said, we're going to pass. And they had never passed on any of my columns ever in an entire year. They have never turned a column down. And so I didn't question it, and I just said, okay, you know, and I didn't want to ruffle any feathers, and I didn't want to speculate. I didn't want to jump to any conclusions. So then I turned in another column, and I had talked about the left and sexual assaults, and, you know, how the left is bringing in rapists and illegal immigrants and this environment's enabling sexual predators. It wasn't specifically about sex trafficking. So they passed on that column. And then I turned in a third column, and then they passed on that column. So I go almost a whole year where they have never passed on one of my columns. And then all of a sudden, they're just passing on my columns, and they're not giving me any explanation. So after this third column, I said, what the heck is going on? Like, why aren't you guys running my stuff? Like, what's wrong? Like, and they find, you know, one of the editors got back to me, and she said in the email, we're changing our policy in 2017, and due to, you know, our new policy, we're going to be a little bit more selective about who we pay, and we're not going to be able to pay you anymore. But thanks for your work in the past.
Jesus.
So to me, I took that as a backhanded way of firing me. You know, they didn't say, we can't afford to pay you anymore, we're on a short budget, but, you know, we'd still run your stuff for free if you want the exposure. No, they didn't say that. They just,
because they can't, Liz,
they
can't get into it, can they? They can't actually get into that. You know, and this is the problem. Liz, I just want to point out, we're actually gone over the time, but we've got, say, about two and a half minutes left. Listen, I'll be inviting you back on the program and soon. Don't worry about that. Where do you go from here? Where does somebody like you, with your experience, go from here with respect to the Clintons and Podesta? You've got to obviously think about your own personal safety, but at the same time, you're a journalist, and you're desperately keen to get this information out there. Where do you go from here, Liz, finally?
So there's two things I want to say real quickly. Number one, I want people to keep praying, and I want people to be optimistic, because the fact that Comey, who was covering for Hillary Clinton, who was covering for the Clinton Foundation, which in fact was covering for sex trafficking, is gone. That is huge. That is great for the movement. That's great for the Pedogate movement. And that is a good sign that Trump will continue to go after people involved in sex trafficking. That's number one. Number two, I'm doubling down. I'm only going to get louder. I'm going to relaunch my website. It'll be LizCrokin.com. I'm going to set up a PayPal or a GoFundMe. So hopefully I can continue to write about sex trafficking and post stuff on my own website, so I don't have to worry about getting censored and fired. Because there's no one. It's not just Town Hall. There's no one else in the business and the media that will publish my work.
No.
So I'm going to continue the fight. I'm not going to let these people scare me or intimidate me. And I'm staying optimistic. I have faith that these people will be brought down one way or the other. And again, I believe Comey being gone is a really good sign.
It's going to help.
So I encourage people to stay optimistic.
Follow Liz on Twitter at Liz Crokin. Liz, thanks so much for reaching out to us. This is huge. I look forward to speaking to you again on this program real soon. Don't wait to be contacted, Liz. Get in touch
with us. Thank you so much. And thank you so much for all your work that you're doing to expose this horror and, you know, help these children. It's wonderful.
Thank you, Liz. Have a great rest of your day there in Illinois. Liz Crokin on the line to us there. Journalist who's written for the Inquirer, for the Chicago Sun-Times, the Tribune, intern at the White House, very serious reporter, asking the questions that unfortunately the mainstream media in the United States not asking about Podesta, about the Clintons, and about sex trafficking. This is your Richie Allen Show, 6 minutes past the hour for Thursday, May 11th.
Have you lost access to important data from a computer hard drive, mobile phone, or other storage device? Maybe you have a broken hard drive containing years of information, or a smartphone that no longer works from which you'd like the pictures, movies, and chats recovered. If you would like to recover data from any type of digital device, including desktop and laptop computers, external hard drives, cameras, smartphones, NAS, and RAID servers, then contact Data Clinic today at dataclinic.co.uk now.
Virtually every transaction that involves a child is valuable to somebody.
We intend to show everyone the real reason children are being removed at an alarming rate.
No, this is awful.
The baby's not been seen by the doctor or nothing.
They are psychopathic.
They have got the legal right to kill children now, because that's what they do.
Traffic 2. Available now at premiumpictures.co.uk.
There's a place high in the mountains of Spain, a sanctuary where souls gather from all around the globe to learn about themselves and experience powerful changes in the way we see our world. They become awakened to their gifts and their power to heal others. Become part of this ever-growing worldwide family of unique, pure energy healing practitioners. Discover how amazing you truly are. Go to www.markbayerski.com. It could just change your life forever.
Welcome back to the program. The mother-in-law will be in town tomorrow. I'm really looking forward to seeing Monique. I haven't seen her for a few years. Jetting in from Nancy via Charles de Gaulle Airport in Paris. Going to spend a few days with us. It'll make a slight adjustment to next week's programming schedule. There will be a Sunday view as always. But Monday, I'm going to be spending it with the family. But there will be an extra radio show on the Friday. So there won't be any less shows, just a slight adjustment to the schedule. Sunday View as normal this coming Sunday morning. This Sunday, the whatever it is, the 13th, is it? 14th, is it? On Sunday. And then I'll be away Monday, but I'll be doing Tuesday to Friday. How's that sound for you? I think you can't argue with it. I think you can argue if you want, but you won't get anywhere. This is the Richie Allen Show on DavidIke.com at 9 minutes past the hour for Thursday, May the 11th, 2017. My name is Richie Allen. Maria Heller standing by. Terrific presenter, journalist and commentator is Maria. She's in Arizona. She's with me in a minute. Keep the tweets coming in. It's at Richie Allen Show on Twitter. Richie@richieallen.co.uk is your email. This is Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson, can you feel it on the Richie Allen Show? 10.5 minutes past the hour for Thursday. A balmy evening in the great city of Manchester. They're telling us that thunder is on the way and a couple of days of bad weather. Hope that won't last too long with the in-law in town. Let's welcome our next guest to the programme. Jim Marr's due to be with us. What a substitution. You couldn't ask for better. Wonderful broadcaster, terrific journalist, has been presenting radio programmes longer than you've had hot dinners, and has, to her credit, the oldest running podcast programme, internet programme, radio programme, online. She's been doing it for forever and ever. Never lost her integrity either. Great friend of ours, Maria Heller. Welcome back.
Good to be here, Richie.
Thanks for bailing us out.
No problem, anytime.
It's one of those things, it's an embarrassing thing, really. Some people would take it as a kind of an insult to be invited. But when you've got, you know, that sort of relationship, I don't feel too bad about saying to you, come on. Because I'd have been saying to you next week, you know, when can you come back on the programme anyway? But you bailed us out today. It's a terrific day for you to come on. So much going on in the United States with Comey and with the deputy director of the FBI saying that, you know, the Russian investigations will continue. How are you reading this story? It looks from this end to be almost soap opera-esque. How are you reading it, Maria?
I read it as Dumbo's Flying Circus. I don't know if you remember the movie Dumbo.
I do, indeed.
But it looks like Trump's got a feather, but it's not in his nose. I'm watching it, and I have to tell you, I have never seen anything like this in the history of my country. And it's really disgusting that the Democrats are sitting back, basically doing nothing, as far as I'm concerned. Trump is still acting like he's running The Apprentice with his famous "You're fired." You know, so far, three people that have investigated him have been fired. And it's the second time in U.S. history that an FBI director has been fired. I mean, Comey had 6 years to go. And I think Trump's excuse, you know, because of the handling of Hillary Clinton's emails, is totally bogus. Because, listen, you have to be deaf, dumb, and blind not to see that Comey threw the election to Trump. But I guess once Trump's gotten what he needs out of you, he has no use for you, and he just discards you like his wives.
He certainly had no interest, Trump, in pursuing Hillary Clinton, did he?
Of course not. They're good friends. They've been friends forever.
Yeah. Mentioned,
you know,
this.
He and Bill Clinton traveled to Orgy Island many times and played with Jeffrey Epstein.
You know, I mentioned this.
Look at them and think they're different. There's nothing different about them except this guy is dangerously ignorant.
The thing about the, you're absolutely right, and I mentioned this to my previous guest, Trump's association with the Clintons goes way back, and there's no doubt about that, and Epstein as well. But we know there's absolutely no evidence whatsoever that the Russians had anything to do with interfering in the US election. We know this because there's no evidence of it. And we know that Russia is public enemy number one because it's preventing the US accomplishing its goals in Syria. So the Comey thing, it's, you know, it's amazing you calling it Dumbo's Flying Circus. What is it about then?
Well, right. I mean, truthfully, it's hard to figure out. You know, I was doing a news show on Tuesday, and right then and there, I had to push off a lot of my other news because of what was happening at Hanford with the nuclear waste there and a tunnel collapsing where they used to process plutonium. So that story superseded all the other stories. And then by the time I was done with my show, the Comey story came out. And I was like, holy crap. It's like you can't keep track of what's going on. Mm. Well, you know, Comey had gone about a week before to Rosenstein and said that he needed more resources for his investigation. And today they've issued subpoenas to Michael Flynn. They have other subpoenas for some of the other big names in there, I'm sure. The grand juries have also started to accumulate here. And surprising of all things, Jason Chaffetz says that he wants to expand the Russian investigation. Now, whether there's proof or not, if they were innocent, why don't they just show what they have?
Well,
why
are they doing brilliant.
This deep cover-up?
Here's a question for you. I became convinced, and I am convinced, that the cabal chose Trump for president and that I got it wrong, and that ultimately they used Comey and others and used Hillary as a stalking horse for him. I wonder, Maria, has Hillary Clinton or people associated with her, have they just gone rogue? Have they gone off message and, you know, refusing to accept that, you know, they were thrown under the bus effectively for Trump? They've gone rogue now and they're pushing this Russian nonsense agenda. I wonder.
Well, I don't know. I mean, look, I'm not going to call it Russian nonsense anymore because they're working so hard to not have this investigation. When I look at what they're doing right now, the first thought that came to my mind, Richie, was this is the same thing that Bush and Cheney did when they stalled an investigation of 9/11. Don't forget, that investigation didn't start till a year after 9/11 happened.
Right. That's right.
They wouldn't fund it. They poorly funded it. And when Bush and Cheney did testify, they refused to testify under oath, and they did it in private.
Together.
Right.
Together,
and
that's
if
right.
It wasn't for the Jersey Wives, 9/11 investigation never would have happened, even though the whole investigation they presented to us was bogus. So looking at what Trump is doing now, that kind of, you know, the longer he pushes this investigation off, the more the cloud of Russiagate will follow him through his entire presidency. And the other thing is, the day after he fires Comey, he met with the Russian spy, Kislyak, and with Lavrov, and Henry Kissinger.
Yeah, he met with
Could
Kissinger.
Could that have been
yeah,
a coincidence? Yeah, yeah. I don't think so.
Hillary's friend as well. You know,
of course.
Yeah, yeah. I'll tell you why I'm absolutely convinced there's no... You just can't imagine any scenario with which the United States, with which the Russians interfered in the election, in the result of it. You know, all I see is well, NATO, of course, and the neocons and the Zionists behind Trump looking to blame Russia for anything that they can possibly blame them for. We had FIFA today, the World Soccer governing body. Again, Russia is bad. The athletes are still banned from international athletic competition because they're all a bunch of dopers and lawyers. That's where I see the accusations of, you know, election tampering coming from.
This Look, is here's the deal. Here yeah. in America, unless people haven't been paying attention, our votes don't count anyway.
No matter what, yeah.
All right, so if a president wins the popular vote, they're still not president. That happened to Al Gore. He won the popular vote in 2000. And the same thing with Hillary. She won the popular vote. It doesn't matter. So until people understand that they can't change things by voting these people out, you know, I often think about the Collier brothers, who in the 1970s, when they first started using computers as voting here in the country, they wrote a fabulous book called Vote Scam. And they proved how the voting machines were rigged, how the vote was rigged. And one of the sentences I remember the most from the book was, you can't vote the bastards out because you didn't vote the bastards in.
Correct.
And that's the truth even today. So I couldn't understand why so many researchers and people I respected were campaigning basically for Trump and got on the Trump bandwagon and continued to defend him.
I didn't understand
it. If all that knowledge they had and all the information we've presented for years on stolen elections just left their brain.
You know what? I hear you loud and clear. Because I'm removed from it, I'm not as close to it as you. I think, Maria, I can understand. I can't forgive it somehow, but I can understand it because they hated the Clintons so much because of everything that we were speaking about in the first hour of this program, their connection to paedophilia and everything else that goes with it. They hated her and their judgment was clouded and they believed the lies that Trump was telling before he was elected. I'll drain the swamp. Right. I'll get a special prosecutor.
How anybody could believe he's anti-establishment?
No,
his cabinet is anti-establishment. I mean, this is the biggest billionaire Congress we have ever had. And, you know, they're not ever going to let you vote their money or their power away. And people need to understand that. You know, last night I watched David Icke had a new 15-minute interview, and he made the case. He said, listen, it's always Israel. Okay, their goal is World War III. And you look at Jared Kushner and his wife Ivanka, who are both Zionists, and to me, they're the de facto president in this country. And Israel's right in our face. You look at Goldman Sachs all over this administration. There's way so much that they can take this administration down on besides Russia. And yet no one is doing a thing about it. It's like he breaks the law or obstructs justice constantly. And as soon as he has a hissy fit about something, heads roll.
Well, do you know what?
I think he's very dangerous. I think he's a cross between Richard Nixon and Lyndon Johnson rolled into one with George W.'s brain.
But you said, that's an incredible image. but you've said it yourself, Marie, it doesn't really matter anyway. Tell you what I think. I've been writing a bit about this. I did something a few weeks ago for Paul Craig Roberts, and I've been talking a lot about it. This is what I think. We're seeing this phenomenon now, Maria, where you go into people's houses. We don't have the bold and the beautiful on anymore, or the young and the restless. The daytime soaps are no longer important. What we have in people's houses on constantly in the background, sometimes muted, but not always, is the 24-hour cable news channels. These have taken over people's houses. And I think those are running daytime soap operas, those TV news cable channels. And I think they must be supplied with a constant supply of storylines. And I think what we're seeing with this Comey nonsense and Russia and the elections, well, of course, Russia and the election serves two things. It serves to demonise Russia in the wider world. But it also serves, I think, to keep the viewer gripped with these soap opera storylines which go off in these weird and wonderful tangents and don't make any sense. What do you think?
Well, I tend to agree, you know, but I also look at, you know, the majority of Trump fans follow Fox News in the United States. When you tell them that Fox News is one-third owned by Saudi Arabia's royalty, they look at you like you're crazy. And I'm like, well, what kind of news do you think you're really getting there? You know, and if I look at MSNBC, it was always through the election, it was pro-Hillary. So it was like the Hillary channel versus the Trump channel. And all of it was, look, like I tell people, no matter who wins an election, we always know who loses, and it's always the people. And then when you talk about Russia interfering in elections, listen, France accused them of the same, Germany accused them of the same, but what about the United States?
Yeah.
We interfere in other countries. Our foreign policy has been our curse for the past 60 or 70 years. You know, we are never satisfied. We don't just go in and destroy people's elections. We go in and we do coups and take their elected leaders out. But there's no mention of that, you know. So we make it look like, you know, we're the good guys and we never do things like this. And that's something most Americans don't want to face, is that, you know, we're responsible for most of the terror on this planet.
And both of those cable news networks, the Trump one and the Hillary one, they're joined in communion insofar as none of them will ever talk about the human cost of US interventionism overseas. And again, something Trump, you know, promised would end, and now we're at the juncture, now we're talking about more troops for Afghanistan.
Want to believe, you know, they're still looking for a savior. They want to believe. And, you know, it's almost like a cult following here in the United States. The Trump fans are, they act the same way as if they're in a cult. No matter what he does, they don't question it and they're A-okay with it. But if it was Hillary or Barack Obama, there would be an impeachment process going on. And I talked about that on my news show this morning. I said, look at how much money was spent on Bill Clinton's impeachment over a blowjob, you know, consenting sex between adults.
$50 million, right? $50 million.
Right, and this, yeah, and they designated $10 million to investigate 9/11. Let's not leave that out.
Even less, Marie. I think it was just over $3 million he was given, Thomas Keene.
Right. Well, I think eventually they bumped it up a bit. You know, they had to print that fake, that phony 9/11 commission review.
Well, think about that. If you even if you're right and it was $10 million. They gave Thomas Keene less, four times less, 80% less than what was given to investigate whether Clinton was rolling around a White House lawn with interns.
Right.
Which is not good, but of course it's not an issue of national security. But
throw something out there like, oh, he had a blowjob, and, you know, got everybody's attention.
Soap opera, Maria.
Right. It's a bad theater. I call it, it's all theater and it's all bad theater.
And by the way, when all of that talk about Clinton was going on about blowjobs, what was not being discussed because of the airtime given to Clinton?
Well,
Chechnya, Bosnia, right?
Right.
We could be here all day.
You know, when Clinton was in office, I was doing terrestrial radio and I was covering it. And that was when Clinton was making all those trips to China. And nobody was covering it. And I was like, what is he doing? He's obviously selling us out or continuing whatever Bush Sr. and his deals with China were. And it was a non-story. But as soon as it had to do with sex, because America is so, I mean, you and I have discussed this before, we're so repressed in our sexuality in this country that anything to do with sex is like top news.
Yeah, top news, yeah. I just want to do a quick recap. Maria Heller, my great friend and colleague, is on the line to us from Arizona. Check out Maria, MERIA.net. Subscribe to her. Listen to her programs. She is well worth the effort, believe you me. Fantastic to have her on the program. 27 minutes past the hour. We've been talking a lot about the Comey scandal, Trump, Hillary Clinton. I don't know, you know, speaking of scandals, you might not be aware of this, but speaking of the media and scandals, we have one of the biggest scandals ever seen in this country politically unfolding at the moment, but the media won't touch it, Maria, and that is the HSBC Bank gave a loan of £214 million to a company called IPGL in 2008. Wait till I tell you, Maria. The company was owned by the Conservative Party treasurer at the time, a guy called Michael Spencer. Now, the company that was given the loan wasn't worth the paper that its corporate charter was printed on. It had a lot of debt. It was, a nonsense. Company was terrible. Right. It was bankrupt. The owner of the company, the Tory party guy, gave millions of the HSBC loan. He gave millions to the Conservative Party for the 2010 election. Wait for it. You'll know about this. Through HSBC, David Cameron, then the British Prime Minister at the time, the UK Prime Minister, and George Osborne, the Chancellor, they went to the United States to beg the Obama administration not to prosecute HSBC for laundering Mexican drug cartel money. And wait for it. The chairman of the bank eventually became a peer, was made Lord Spencer. It's the biggest scandal we've ever seen domestically, politically now. I don't mean, you know, the Iraq scandal and weapons of mass destruction. And the UK newspapers don't want to know.
Of course not, because they all cover up for each other. You know, it's like Trump calling our media fake news. But yet this morning he's on every fake news channel trying to defend himself. So it's not fake if it agrees with him, but it's fake if it disagrees with him. But I remember that story with HSBC and some other banking stories. But, you know, even though people say there's no evidence with Trump, there's still a lot of evidence. He owes a lot of money to China. He owes a lot of money to Russia from his early business days. You know, he's got business going on in Turkey. You know, to me, the conflicts of interest between him and his family are huge. But he's also had Russian and Chinese spies buying in and living in Trump Tower, buying properties of his in Florida for $60 million more than they were worth. So this guy's, he is controlled by a lot of people and by his businesses, which he's never divested from. To me, you know, I keep reminding people, the very first day after his inauguration, the first thing the Republicans tried to do was get rid of the Ethics Committee. That's and nice. Now you could see why, because this guy is owing to everybody and his children are selling access, you know, pay to play for visas to the Chinese. And yet these become non-issues and non-stories on the media here.
But you're right. But you mentioned his ties with Russia and China, but he's also up to his neck in it with Goldman Sachs, with, you know,
With JP he's got Morgan at least nine Chase Goldman yeah. Sachs people on his administration, and they're investigating the Goldman Sachs part of 2008. So you have Goldman Sachs investigating themselves. Goldman Sachs.
Wasn't? I mean, I talked a lot about Trump early on, and about his gentrification of New York City of Manhattan and how he did that. With hundreds of millions of dollars of loans from these banks. And in case some of our listeners don't understand the term gentrification, well, they basically moved people, working class people, out of there. And made
minorities.
It, minorities.
Too, and, I know and, mostly minorities.
That's right. And made it unattainable for people unless you had seven-figure bank balances. And Trump was used to do that. He was a puppet used to do that very thing. And again, he was up to his neck in it with JP Morgan Chase, with Goldman right. Sachs, and with Rothschild. So you have a guy who's completely mined, I'm not going to use the F word in front of a lady, but by so many different people. So who right. is this guy? You know, that's the question. Who is this guy?
I think that he's very sorry that he won the election. I think he's very inept at the job. Like he's admitted himself, you know, I didn't think this was going to be this hard. I remember when he was campaigning, he said, I can run my businesses and the country at the same time. How hard could it be? It's just a part-time job.
Yeah.
But the only thing, truthfully, it did become a part-time job because he spent, so far, 20% of his time on the golf course.
But you see, I believe he was chosen because of that narcissistic tendency, because I think he believed everything he was saying. He believed it.
Well, I think he, like most people, I think he's bipolar. Like most people, he believes it when he says it, and then 10 minutes later, he says something else.
Yeah.
You know, he blew James Comey a kiss. I remember seeing that. He praised James Comey for what he did with the Hillary emails. So did Jeff Sessions. This is all on video. People can see it online. These things don't go away. So to believe the ridiculous story of why he fired Comey, you'd have to be stupid or not have been paying attention the past 10 or 12 months.
Absolutely right. 60 minutes interview. I don't want to hurt the Clintons. They're good people.
Well, they were at his wedding, you know. Who knows whether they even wife swapped, you know what I mean? I mean, I don't put anything past them, and people don't understand. These super rich sociopaths, they don't conduct their lives like you and I, Richie, like normal people listening to your show. So it becomes very hard for us to understand how can they act so inhuman. Well, maybe the bottom line is it's because they're not human.
Where do we go from here? You and I know that there has to be a much more profound raising of the levels of consciousness amongst people, because we've concluded, you and I, through the course of our lives, that it doesn't matter. The house always wins, you know. Rothschild mm-hmm. said many, many, many moons ago, I don't care what puppet is on the throne. He meant I don't care who's ruling. He meant who's ruling politically, because right. I control the money supply. That's the fact. How do we get people to get out of it? You see, Marie, we've got a general election coming up on the 8th of June. And again, mm-hmm. people who should know better are nailing all of their hopes to a guy called Jeremy Corbyn. Mm-hmm. Whom is so fatally flawed, character-wise, in terms of, you know, the things we talk about, in terms of not going after the the banks, not telling the truth about finance and money. So how do we extricate people away from that, get them away from this system?
Listen, you can't force people to do their own homework. You can't force people to do their own research. So when they hear something like you or myself would say, it's so far out to them that they can't wrap their minds around it. Remember, here in America, they stopped teaching critical thinking a long time ago. So if people want to stay puppeted, there's really not much we can do. You know, sometimes people say to me, but Maria, you're preaching to the choir. The bottom line is, the reason I do my show is to comfort other people who understand critical thinking, who are aware, to make them feel and realize they're not alone.
They're not
because
mad.
The rest of the world is a madhouse. Truthfully, the world is a madhouse. You know, when you had that election in France last week, I thought Macron was the better choice. And it was interesting because one of the first I felt it was a nasty attack. Actually, one of my guests, who I'll leave unnamed, he said, but what about the fact his wife's so much older than him? This was the first problem that they could think of with Macron. And I said, what about Trump and his wife?
Why
is it okay for a man to be old and not for a woman to be old with a young man?
Because that
and the
story,
truth of the matter is, I said, he's still, as usual, the lesser of the two evils.
But you know what, Maria, that story is fascinating. I mean, again, the cabal, let's call them that, painted Emmanuel Macron as some sort of outsider, and the French fell for it. This is a guy who was the economic minister of Hollande's first term. So he was economic minister. He spent several years working for Rothschild, where he made himself several million euro in wages. But that's bad enough. But what's really interesting about him is how he was 15 when she met him. Mm-hmm. And his parents did everything they could to keep him away from her. And some commentators, some people that you and I both rate, wonder if she's some sort of handler there with this guy.
Maybe she is, maybe she isn't. Okay.
Because he's pro-European Union, right?
What about Ivanka and Jared? They're obvious handlers of Trump.
Yeah.
She's made it very clear. I mean, he moved his children into the White House. Why don't they just change their last name to Hussein? Because it looks like the Hussein family has arrived in D.C.
And they're not.
And with all his connections to Netanyahu, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if he's also Mossad.
Nobody.
And now, you know, Trump's given him total power. Maybe he'll be the next director of the FBI. Who knows? He's thrown so much at that kid. Maybe he is, maybe he isn't. But the same way they said Macron was anti-establishment is the same way they pushed Donald Trump. You know, he was supposed to be like everybody else. He was going to drain the swamp. He drained it and put them all on his administration.
Well, he drained it. He dug deeper, made it bigger, put what he'd taken out of it back in, and then added some.
Right. It's but, you know, back to that little snippet I was watching David put out on YouTube, you know, about their goal for World War III. And he talks about Albert Pike. You know, how many Americans have even heard the name Albert Pike? When you talk about the Freemasons or the Protocols of Zion, right away they attack you. And they'll say, oh, those Protocols of Zion were, what did they say?
Fake.
Like a fraud or
a hoax,
Not a hoax. There's another word for it. Like they're fake. But I said, well, then that means that there's a real copy of it somewhere.
Right.
But if you look at it, you know, we're still being led by Israel through our nose and in our face now more than ever, you know, especially with the bankers in this administration. And people don't want to see where this is headed. So whether they're going to demonize North Korea, South Korea, China, Russia, whatever, it doesn't matter. Their goal is world war, because whenever the world economy sinks to the low level it is, and I truly believe we'll have a crash bigger than 2008, world war is always their solution.
And this is why there's been a number of high-profile news stories in the last 6 to 8 weeks about cashless society. You know, there's been a big move this year, more than any other year, huge move this year to get people to to now begin to pay for everything through their cell phone, their mobile phone,
absolutely.
As we would say here.
Absolutely. And you know what? In the 60s, in the 1960s, my friends and I used to talk about how they wanted to move us to a cashless society. But in the 1960s, everybody laughed about that because very few people even owned a credit card at that point. You know, I remember when I was a kid, the very first credit card my dad got was for Sears. And he got the card and he sat us down and he said, "This is how you work with credit cards. You only use it if you know you have the money in the bank to pay the bill when it arrives." He already knew what the trickery was behind debt and credit cards. And honestly, Richie, thank God I had the father I did. In all the years since, I have never paid one dime of interest on a credit card. I don't buy anything unless I know I can afford that bill when it arrives.
I'm stunned to this day that people would use them. I mean, my bank gave me one. And I have one, but I would never, ever use it. I mean, I just couldn't imagine a scenario whereby I would use it ever. It would have to be some dire
emergency.
Well, sometimes,
it's convenient. They sell us everything as convenience, including your cell phone.
Yeah.
All right? People are self-surveilling themselves.
But we have debit cards, don't we?
Because of the convenience of having a cell phone. You know, I went to Mexico a couple of months ago, and that was at the time where they're checking everybody's cell phones at the border. I mean, now you have no privacy on any of your electronic equipment. And I was driving in with my daughter, and I said to her, "What are they going to do to me when they ask for my cell phone?" And I tell them I don't have one.
Simple as that. End of story.
And I still choose not to have a cell phone. I choose not to have GPS on my car. I'm not going to willingly submit to my own slavery and surveillance. I don't need that convenience that badly.
How many, you don't get to watch every single news program every hour of the day, but I wonder how much coverage has been given to the NSA's admission that last year they hacked 151 million phone calls in America. I mean, Maria.
None. Zero. There's been zero attention to it. I've seen a passing story here and there.
Holy Jesus.
But not on TV. You don't see it at all.
151 million. There must be some terrorists over there. Lunacy. So, 151 million, yeah.
Which kind of makes me laugh because I was thinking about the stupidity of this country. Especially Trump and his wall that he wants to build with Mexico. If they can spy and record our cell phones, if they can spy and hack our computers, if they have gadgetry that can look in our house and see where we're at, how much cash we have in the house, why would we need a physical wall between us and Mexico? I said, why not just drop a cell phone every 100 feet or so and turn it on?
That's right. Yeah.
But, you know, they go again, it goes back to critical thinking. People still believe what they're told to believe the ridiculousness of a wall when most stuff gets transported, you know, through tunnels, especially the weapons we send from the United States to Mexico. Nobody talks about that.
That go directly to the cartels.
Right, exactly. You remember Fast and Furious with Eric Holder under Obama. And that story got big for about 10 minutes and then it was gone. Nobody was prosecuted. We're now arming basically the terrorists in Turkey, I believe. God, I had so many stories today. I hope I'm saying the right country. If I'm not, at least I didn't bomb them like Trump and didn't know which country you bombed.
Yeah.
But you can always go in and listen to my show and hear it. And, oh, no, Turkey is against, I guess, we're sending arms now to the Kurds, which Turkey says are the terrorist groups. But the United States has always supported terrorism around the world because we'll sell weapons to anybody. You know, our only export is death.
Particularly to jihadis whom will wreck countries like Syria, leave Syria in the mess that it's in. It's exactly 16 minutes to the top of the hour. We've got Maria for another 5 minutes before we have to start wrapping up. It's flying by. Do check out her website, maria.net. Subscribe for the podcast for her daily programme. It is outstanding. It really is. You know, you can't get too many different perspectives on global events. Maria will have a different take on things than me, and then many of our guests, and that's great. That's really important, that.
And I'll have Richie Allen on my show on the 24th.
That's right, of this month. I'm looking forward to it.
I got David Icke coming back on the 30th. You know, David's been on my show for all of 20 years.
20 years you've had David on regularly. That's right, yeah. It's incredible.
You know, and I'm proud to say that I'm one of the few, maybe the only one that I know, that David actually endorses my show in the United States.
100%. When you were interviewing and speaking with David 20 years ago, you know, it was what, 5, 6, 7 years into his journey, and him getting airplay and getting listened to was very difficult at that time for him. So your show was huge.
As soon as I saw his work, I knew that I had to cover it. And you know what's funny? I told him the very first time, David, I love your work, but I don't know if my audience can handle this reptilian stuff. So maybe we shouldn't mention that. but as it, of course, as it went along, you know, he's got the best, to me, the best explanation for the kind of people running this world, because I truly don't see them as human beings at all. They have no normal characteristics of human beings.
When I first met him, I mean, you and I, you know, must have been separated at birth, because my proviso when I first spoke with him as well, way back in 2008, I think 2009, when we first did radio, I was the same as you. I said, let's talk about geopolitical events, and let's talk about the economy. Let's keep it away from the nature of reality. That was my proviso.
Well, it wasn't that I couldn't get it. I was just concerned that, you know, some things need to be spoon-fed to your audience, because reality is not what people think it is, and it's a hard pill to swallow. So it's how you explain it that matters.
Where do you see yourself now? This is going to sound like a job interview. It isn't, of course. Where do you see, I mean, 20 years on from making the programs, Maria, and you gave a very candid answer to me a few minutes ago when you said that you feel the program is as much for people who do understand it, to help them stay sane and to understand that they're not going absolutely mad. It's almost like a helpline for people who are already awake, you know. So where do you see the Maria Heller Show in 2017 as opposed to back in the late 1990s? What has changed for you since you did your first programs? Where are you now?
Nothing has changed. People that have listened to me all these years say that I'm always the same. I always have the same integrity. I never change horses midstream. I see things clearly. And for me, I look at my show as a safe haven for the awake and for my soul group. And I don't really care about the millions of people that are willing to listen to all the bloviating liars out there, because they're not part of my soul group. And I know that might be a little way out for your listeners, for me to jump right into the spiritual.
Yeah.
But I'm here, and I've known it since I was a child. I'm here to find my people, wake them up, educate them, and get them ready for when we leave this planet, and to remember to never come back here.
So it sounds like, because you've got like 2 minutes left, it sounds like almost that you believe the solutions to this are when we leave this physical body.
The solutions to this is spiritual. There's no political, religious solution to this world. It's a spiritual trip, and I remind people that we're spiritual beings having a physical experience. I believe David explained it the best when he said, we're in the final moments or the final credits of a DVD.
Yeah.
And I don't want people out there that are awake, that are concerned, that are spiritually inclined to feel alone. I give them that safe space. Sometimes it's just the vibration sound of my voice that keeps them calm, not so much what I'm talking about. Because we're not alone here, and a lot of people feel very alone out there, and they don't have to feel alone. That's why I'm here. I'm not here for the masses. I've known that since I was a child.
You know, what you're describing there is evocative of the climax of The Matrix in the third film, when the architect of The Matrix shows Neo, in fact, it might have been the end of the second film, the architect shows Neo that thousands and thousands and thousands of infinite Neos have tried to, you know, skew the Matrix and to win but never ever manage it because the system is set up like that.
Exactly.
It's an interesting
It's funny
concept,
you mentioned the Matrix, because when I was at a 9/11 conference speaking in Chicago, and I believe it was 2006, I met a lot of young investigators, and I was sitting at a table by myself one day, and this young producer came up to me and he said to me, "I know who you are." And I looked at him and I said, "Really, who am I?" He says, "You're the Oracle." And I looked at him and I said, "Well, I may be the Oracle, but I don't have any cookies for you."
or any spoon-bending children nearby. Listen, thanks again for coming on the show, Marie. You have no idea how much I enjoy listening to you. I really love having you on.
My pleasure. Well, we'll get to do this together on the 24th, except it'll be on my show.
I'm looking forward to it. Yeah, I don't do anything like that. I don't get invited first and foremost. You're the only person who invites me to do anything like that. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to say again, folks, go to Maria, MERIA.net. You'll find Maria on Facebook as well. She's the only Maria Heller, again, like our first guest. She's the one and only. Follow her on there. Thanks, Maria, for continuing to put other people before yourself and do your amazing work. I really mean that.
Well, you too, Richie, and it's always good to be with you. And if you see David before I do, give him a hug.
Sure will. Thanks, Maria. Have a great rest of your day there.
You too.
Bye. Bye for now. The amazing Maria Heller on the line to us from Arizona. Check out Maria, MERIA.net. What a special lady she is. That's it for this. It's not it for the program, but just that's it for this section of the program. Quick break. When I come back, one or two things to tell you, and then we're not far off the end, I think.
Have you lost access to important data from a computer hard drive, mobile phone, or other storage device? Maybe you have a broken hard drive containing years of information, or a smartphone that no longer works from which you'd like the pictures, movies, and chats recovered. If you would like to recover data from any type of digital device, including desktop and laptop computers, external hard drives, cameras, smartphones, NAS, and RAID servers, then contact Data Clinic today at dataclinic.co.uk now.
Virtually every transaction that involves a child is valuable to somebody.
We intend to show everyone the real reason children are being removed at an alarming rate.
No, this is awful.
The baby's not been seen by the doctor or nothing.
They are psychopathic.
They have got the legal right to kill children now, because that's what they do.
Traffic 2. Available now at premiumonpictures.co.uk.
There's a place high in the mountains of Spain, a sanctuary where souls gather from all around the globe to learn about themselves and experience powerful changes in the way we see our world. They become awakened to their gifts and their power to heal others. Become part of this ever-growing worldwide family of unique, pure energy healing practitioners. Discover how amazing you truly are. Go to www.markbajerski.com. It could just change your life forever.
Welcome back. Hi to Deborah. Thanks for the kind words, Deborah, and to Jay, fond of Maria Heller. It's great to get people with a different perspective on the program. We always try and do that. Did that yesterday. Do it a lot. You know, it's the thing I think that sets us apart from pretty much any other program of our type. We invite people on the program with a different point of view, and quite often on this program we invite people on who disagree with me, I suppose, really, when it comes down to it, because it is my program, I present it, and I'll continue to do that. If your ideas have any merit to them, they'll stand up to any scrutiny. Somebody taught me that a few years ago, and he's absolutely right, I think. It's been a decent old week, I think, on the programme. I want to mention again, got some fascinating guests lined up for you next week. Alana Freeland returns to the programme. We'll have Ralph Epperson back on the show as well. I think we might get Joel Benjamin on. Now, he's the man behind this HSBC scandal, this Tory party scandal, former Tory party treasurer and fundraiser who used a company that was going bust to borrow money from HSBC. Money then funneled into the Tory party coffers. I think we might have Joel Benjamin on the programme next week, so a lot is going on. Look, we'll cover the election. because it's important. Remember, a lot of people who listen to this program are new to the information. And I'm not patronizing them or in any way putting them down. I'm not. But it's important that we cover the election and the issues around it as a way, you know, to connect the dots for people and to, you know, to show them the other side of it, how it ultimately does not matter. You know, and I'm not immune to the fears of people who have a lot to lose. You know, people whom are unwell and who can't work, people whom are disabled and can't work, and, you know, believe that the Conservative Party in the guise of Theresa May is the devil incarnate and will mean and will spell doom for them if they get another 5 years. I'm not immune to the fears of those people, but it doesn't change the fact that it doesn't matter a damn which party is elected, which coalition gets elected. So we'll cover the election as always and give you a different perspective on it. I'm going to keep on to the Labour Party and to the Lib Dems and to the Greens to ask them why won't they raise the spectre of the HSBC IPGL scandal that, you know, stains the Conservative Party along with everything else. Why they won't take that on? Why they won't attempt to introduce that story into the narrative of this upcoming election? That's what I'll do. Okay, so that's pretty much it for Thursday's programme. Huge thanks to our guests, to Liz Crokin, fascinating woman, a terrific guest in the first there, and to Maria Heller there as well. Follow Liz on Twitter, it's at Liz Crokin. Maria, of course, maria.net, you'll find Maria on Facebook as well. I'll be with you on Sunday morning at 11 a.m, the regular time for Sunday View. That's Sunday morning, Sunday View, for an hour or thereabouts on Sunday. Join me then. In the meantime, look after yourselves and one another. Chill out, relax, don't let it all get on top of you. Thanks to Simon for YouTube, Simon Stewart, that is, to Aaron for our website, richieallen.co.uk. Let me remind you, the Live League show with Hayden Hewitt begins at 10 p.m. That's in just over an hour's time on liveleague.com, the Live League show with Hayden Hewitt, liveleague.com. And coming up at 2 a.m. UK time, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, New York, is The Boiler Room on Alternate Current Radio with Hesher and Spohr. Again, I strongly recommend that programme. This programme, though, was edited, introduced and produced by myself, Richie Allen, until Sunday morning and Sunday View. It's bye from me. Bye from me. Bye now. See you Sunday. Bye.